Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. Real quick, what you're about to hear is a preview episode of our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. This is a podcast all about crazy bosses, insane coworkers, and workplaces from hell. If you like the show, please search it wherever you're downloading podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever it may be, and press subscribe on that podcast, Office Horror Stories. And if you really like the podcast and want to be our employee of the month and pick up a $100 Visa gift card, then leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Shoot me a screenshot of that review. Send it to Tony@OfficeHorrorStories.com. And you'll be in the drawing. Every month we pick a brand new employee of the month and award them with a $100 Visa gift card for showing that support on Apple Podcasts with a review. So thank you in advance for that. Now, without further ado, here's a preview portion of the new podcast, Office Horror Stories. We can all say we've had at least one. At some point in most of our working lives, we've worked for a boss that took their authority to the extremes. Sometimes the crazy boss extreme. Today on Office Horror Stories, crazy bosses.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That it is. And yes, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. You can write in on our website as well, OfficeHorrorStories.com. To share your office horror stories with us. We would love to hear them. Please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you are listening to us on, wherever you're downloading your podcast. It helps us grow in the rankings. And leave us a review. That'd be greatly appreciated. It takes just a couple seconds to leave that review. Give us some stars, especially on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening to us there. Helps us get out in their algorithms and says, hey, this show exists. And then other people find it and go, holy shit, it's a cathartic place I can tell all my stories. So that little bit of support from you would be greatly appreciated if you're enjoying the program. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. This question was posed on the last episode with Carol the other day. And I thought I'd throw it out to you. Someone asked, have I ever had any office horror stories working on the podcast? And they asked about real ghost stories online, because that's been the one that's been around the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any office horror stories working on the podcast? I mean, I'm a wonderful boss. I treat everyone great. So it can't be about me, but I don't know. I was thinking more like content wise of just... I don't really have anything that comes to mind. Was there ever anything for you?
No, not really. Definitely not as far as you and I working together, and you work with others for the podcast. I don't. Mm-hmm. I really don't have any bad stories. The only thing I can think of that remotely made me uncomfortable was when we did when we shot Spirits in the Air and mm-hmm. had a touchy-feely ghost, but other than that, no.
Yeah, what was going on with that when we were doing that? Because we were shooting at an old airport
mm-hmm.
in, I won't say the name of it. It's out there if you want to see it. But so it was haunted.
Yeah.
And that's what the director was in at the time, was on camera telling us the stories of the place. What happened?
Well, I was sitting kind of in front of you. You were standing with the camera, and we were, you know, interviewing him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it felt like you poked my shoulder. And
okay.
That's why I looked over. And you were further back than I thought you were.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of looked up at you and went back to what we were doing. But it was a definite, like, poke in the shoulder. It was not like a, you know, my bra strap decided to do something wonky or something.
Nobody was confident to feel. It was literally a poke on the shoulder.
Like on the back of my shoulder.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. And then I told you, mm-hmm. you know, because you, I think, stopped filming, and I asked you if you did that because I thought you were trying to get my attention for something. Like maybe you needed me to grab something out of one of the bags of technology
sure.
stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Huh.
No explanation for who poked my shoulder.
Ghosts seem to like to poke at you when we're having a camera involved for some
yeah.
reason.
Yeah.
I recently looked back on an old video of the Taste Spot when we were filming in in Wisconsin at the winery mm-hmm. where you were getting, where there was a ghost that was poking your butt, right?
Okay, here's exactly what it felt like. It felt like our daughter, who was 3 at the time, was coming up and pushing, you know, like grabbing, you know, around your waist and hanging on. And I was like kind of trying to shoo her away because I was holding the camera. And then I look over and she's across the room with your mom. She's not anywhere near me, you know, but you know, that little kid come up, rub on mom or dad kind of thing. So they're just butt height at that age. Mm-hmm. So I just assumed it was her.
Yeah.
No.
I just, when I looked at that, I didn't realize how, I don't know why I didn't realize. Maybe I did at the time and I just forgot. But there's like, I thought it was like the camera, the digital interference that we had on that episode just was like one time. It goes on for like a minute or two. Mm-hmm. It's like, every couple seconds, it's digital mess up, that whole scene.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't.
And that was exactly when that happened to me. So something didn't want us filming.
Yeah, that was exciting. It's funny that one kind of actually does involve ghosts, even though the show really isn't about ghosts. But it's, you know, anything really goes if it kind of makes you uncomfortable in your workplace. And mm-hmm. our workplace happens to be wherever we're doing our show.
Yeah.
So, I would say the only thing I've had, because I was really kind of thinking about that, because that's interesting, because I don't, you know, we don't have like other coworkers here.
No.
It's just us. So it's like, well, you know, but I can say people do frustrate me. I would say one of the most frustrating things that I've had, and I've only had this a few times, and it's more specifically when I'm doing the podcast, The Grave Talks, and I've set up the interviews. I hate it when people blow off the interviews mm-hmm. or we set on specific times and we get it in our calendars and then people just aren't there.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, I forgot. It's like, I get shit comes up. I can forgive that, especially when they message in ahead of time going, look, this came up. Can we move it? Yes. Yes, we can. And I do the same if something comes up for me. It's rare I'm doing that, but I have done it. Mm-hmm. So I can forgive it. But I hate the one that has always gotten me is when you get into the interview and they have like nothing to say.
Oh.
And I had one. And usually it's like, you know, there's been a couple interviews that these individuals have given. But every once in a while you have someone who's never done an interview before and you're the first one to the story. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But sometimes people approach me about doing an interview like, hey, I have a location that I think has stuff going on at it. Would you be interested in talking? Okay, sure. So I'm assuming if you're coming to me, you have something to talk about.
Yeah.
I remember where there's one lighthouse that I did an interview on. I don't remember where it was, but I was talking to the guy and like he's leading up and leading up and leading up. And I'm thinking, oh, this is an interesting backstory. This will be good once we get to the ghost part. And there's no ghost part. I'm like, after like 15 minutes of leading up, it's like, okay, so what, you know, what was the experience then that you had? Oh, there wasn't anything. It was just kind of a spooky atmosphere. Like, what? Okay, well, maybe not that incident, but what other incidents? Nothing.
Yeah.
And I literally, it was the only time I had to say to somebody, you do realize this is a show about ghosts and hauntings. And you reached out to me to do the interview. I didn't find you. So when you came to me and said you had a ghost story, what did you think it was going to be about? Well, I don't know. I just thought you wanted to talk about the lighthouse. Wow. I said, okay, I think we got enough. Thank you. Bye-bye. Never aired it, but it was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But that can be applied to, you know, a lot of things, especially customer service. If you're a call center or something, somebody calls and it's like, then they have nothing to do with what, you know, mm-hmm. your service one is. I have another one. I'll share it later in the show. It was today that I saw it. Just another, how the fuck did you get this far into life? How are you surviving mm-hmm. When you're this disconnected from how things work? Anyway, we'll do that in a little bit. 833-HATE-JOB is our number. Is that right? Is that our phone number here at this
program?
Okay. I got to get my chalkboard back up with the phone numbers.
And I'm excited. I have an extreme boss story.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in just a few minutes. 833-HATE-JOB or right on the website, Office Horror Stories. com. First letter on today's episode says, I used to work for a call center. In this place, they took care of pool supplies. After sitting in my usual cubicle, I began to dread the start of my shift. If any have worked in a call center, you know that it is tough to smile through the phone. I would take my usual calls and start to answer the phones at 8 a.m. on the dot. First few calls were a breeze until I looked at the caller ID and it said support. With the caller ID, you can preview if it was going to be a purchase or support or status, which were for orders that didn't come. I began to remember one of my calls that was so unbearable. A man threatened to blow up the place and come by shooting because he was missing his receipt and we could not refund him his money. I had to warn people three times before I was allowed to hang up the phone call. No matter how aggressive people got, the manager would listen in and review your call. A few days after that call, a man comes into our office, runs up to our manager saying there was some guy in the building shooting. Of course, when panic happens, stories get screwed up and we didn't get the full details. My manager comes in and tells us to finish our calls or put them on hold. We were notified of an armed man storming the building shooting. Police were on the scene. However, we couldn't hear anything on the second floor to make matters worse. We had no windows on our side of the building. The loud helicopter that was swarming above us so loud that we couldn't hear each other as well. Finally, after 2 hours, we were told that it was a car that was stolen and the cops were looking for the suspects. As the criminals ran out of the car, the police officers killed and shot one of the men while the other went in hiding. Relieved that it wasn't a psycho customer, I decided to leave the call center and move on with my life. After so many people on the lines, you wouldn't believe how abusive people can simply be because you're following company policy. There have been many people who have been terrorized by mass shootings. I'll continue to pray for them. My story isn't of that magnitude, but as a reminder, people can be violent absolutely anywhere. That would be terrifying.
Yeah, I think I'd have to be done at that point.
I think, is that why a lot of call centers, for the most part, don't say where they're at and it's very difficult to find them and they have names that don't have the word call center in?
Maybe.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't even think of them, but they're quite often, it's like unmarked locations that just are not what you would expect to be a call center. Like, oh, that sounds like a deli. It's like, nope, it's a large call center.
Yeah. I feel for those people, you know, because... Mm-hmm. They get the worst of the worst, people that are frustrated and they have no control over what, you know, their company can and can't do.
Sure. I feel for them. But I will say this, something that and I'm sure they get a lot of crazy abusive people and it must really, it either, there's a handful I'm sure that just get completely embittered by just the extreme nut jobs mm-hmm. like that. And then when you are a legitimate customer with a legitimate complaint, they're just, they're already on there. I've had enough shit meter is full and then they're done.
Yeah.
You know, and then you don't get remotely good service. But I've noticed as of, I'd say the last 10 years, maybe even less, maybe 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's like a new generation that's coming to the call centers. Cause it tends to be an 18 to 24 year old demographic job.
Okay.
I would say, you know, that's the biggest chunk of the pie that's working in that industry. It's the issue of, can I speak to the supervisor? Used to be, yes, we'll get somebody. And if they were confused, if you needed to escalate it, you could get there.
Mm-hmm.
That shit doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
They will literally just tell you no mm-hmm. sometimes now. And I don't know if it's company policy that they're just like, fuck it, we don't care anymore. We'll just let them suffer. What's the worst they're going to do? They're going to complain about us along with the other 5 gazillion complaints online or what it is. Yeah. But it's like, what the fuck? Well, some are good. Some are not.
I'm surprised that honestly, that it took this long for them to realize if you say no, they, you know, there's no way that you can bypass the system and talk to their boss.
Well, true. But at this day and age of communicating your dissatisfaction with a company, you know, 15 years ago, I would have think this, if that was a thing, it would have been going on 15, 20 years ago mm-hmm. where it's like, yeah, you're really fucked if they told you no then. Mm-hmm. Because what's the worst you're going to do is go to like the Better Business Bureau and go through that shit show. Now it's, you can go on, you know, online tirades. You can go to every review site. There's a lot of ways you can let your shit show be known.
Mm-hmm.
And without reprisal, So I would think that, quite honestly, today we would have less of that because of the reprisal that a customer can give to a business. But in looking at this, what I've noticed, the companies that are like that, if you do a little research, they have so many negative reviews online. I think they've almost hit a threshold sometimes where it's like, it doesn't matter anymore. We already have so much negativity out there. One more is not going to mean shit. So fuck them all. That's kind of what I feel like it's gotten to.
Well, that and, you know, with the way some people, I mean, I think overall work ethic has gone down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that managers in those positions do nothing but field calls of people saying, well, I want to talk to your manager. They can't manage anything because all they're doing is talking to the people that wanted to talk to the manager. So they at some point had to say, you know, we can't do that anymore. I have to be able to do my job. I can't do all of this.
Yeah, because the agents themselves either don't know what to do and can't handle it, or they're given, I think there's a lot of this where it's so scripted what they're allowed to say, and they can't leave the script. It's literally like a choose your own adventure book.
Yeah.
Where if customer goes in this direction, you say this. And they just keep repeating it over and over. That's one of the most frustrating things to me, is how when you go into that, there's very few companies have the personalized service of, okay, I'm going to identify what happened here and we're going to figure this out. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm sorry for your, that I'm sorry you feel that way. And very insincere the way they say it, because they're just reading the script again, but there's no resolution. And it seems that so many people are just completely fine with that. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's not the correct response.
But there's a whole generation now that's the whole way that it's always been for them.
Yeah.
They don't remember when you would have somebody on the other end of the line that really went the extra mile. There is no extra mile anymore.
That's where we're going to pause the preview portion of this episode of Office Horror Stories. If you want the full thing, all you have to do is go find it wherever you download podcasts. Just search Office Horror Stories on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, CastBox, whatever it may be, you name it. Search Office Horror Stories, press subscribe, start binging away today. And like I said earlier, please do leave us a review, especially on Apple Podcasts. Once you do that, email me a screenshot of it, send it to tony@officehorrorstories.com, and I'll put you in the drawing to be our employee of the month and get somebody hooked up with a $100 Visa gift card. Brand new winner every single month. So show your support, maybe a $100 Visa gift card. Thank you for the support, and hope you enjoyed Office Horror Stories.